Today's daf is Horios daf Yud Beis. We are holding 10 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Yud Aleph from the Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing the Shemen HaMishcha. We were discussing when it was required, when it was not required, and when it was used, even though it wasn't required, because of some sort of machlokas, or because of some other reason that they had to make it look like they were using Shemen HaMishcha. So we're going to continue that discussion, and then the Gemara is going to discuss some more details about the Shemen HaMishcha. When it was hidden away, that we no longer have it, how it was done, how the actual Mashicha was done with the Shemen HaMishcha, and what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu put the Shemen HaMishcha on Aaron HaKohen, how a couple of drops remained on Aaron forever, B'derech Neis. The Gemara is then going to talk about checking a person's mazel, using simanim, and that's going to lead us into the comment about having simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Then we're going to have advice from Rav Misharshia to his children, a variety of bits of advice, but one of those bits of advice relate to one of the simanim, and that's why we mention it in the Gemara. And then we're going to discuss how we know that only a Kohen Mashuach, according to the Mishnah, brings the special par of the Kohen Mashuach, and we're also going to quote opinions who disagree and hold that no, it's not only the Kohen Mashuach, it's also the Merubah Begadim, and that's going to lead us into a long discussion of all of the different halachos of a Kohen Gadol, which ones apply to the different types of Kohen Gadolim. The Kohen Meshuach, the Merubah Begadim, a Kohen Sha'avar, someone who used to be the Kohen Gadol, the Meshuach Melchama, right? Which of these halachos of Kohen Gadolim apply to all of them, and which of them only apply to some of them and not to others. So let's begin 10 lines from the bottom of the page. On Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we are at Ve'es Yeho Achaz. So the Bryce had mentioned yesterday that Yeho Achaz, the son of Yoshiyahu, they anointed him with the Shemen HaMishcha, even though he was a Melech Ben Melech. And normally the rule is, a Melech Ben Melech does not get the Shemen HaMishcha, but it was because Mipnei Yehoyakim Shayagadol Mimenu Shtei Shanim, because Yehoyakim was older than him, was 2 years older than him, and therefore one might have thought would be more worthy of becoming the king. So because of that machlokas, because of that issue, it wasn't a clear-cut melech ben melech situation. They needed to use the Shemen HaMishcha. Says Gemara, is that true that Yehoyakim was 2 years older than him? Umi kashish minei. Was Yehoyakim really 2 years older than Yehoachaz? Vaksiv. But the pasuk tells us in Divrei Yamim, uvnei Yoshiyahu. Here are the sons of Yoshiyahu. Habachar Yochanan. Hasheni Yehoyakim. Hashlishi Tzidkiyahu. Harvi'i Shalom. So va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan comments, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkiyahu. The third and the fourth son are actually the same person. So there weren't really four sons, there were really only three sons. But more importantly for us at this point, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. That when it says Yochanan is the first son, that's really Yehoachaz, because you'll notice Yehoachaz is missing from the list of the four sons of Yoshiyahu. So he's not. It's Yochanan that's the first one. And so he's the Bechar. So apparently Yehoachaz was the Bechar and therefore was older than Yehoyakim. So how can we say because Yehoyakim was 2 years older than Yehoachaz, that's why Yehoachaz needed the Shemen HaMishcha? Not true. Yehoyakim was the second son. Yehoachaz was the first. So says Mar Liolam Yehoyakim Kashish. No, really, Yehoyakim was the older son. Umay Bechar, what then does the pasuk mean when it says that Yochanan, who is Yehoachaz, was the Bechar? Bechar Lamalchus. It means that he was the first one to serve as Melech after Yoshio's death, before Yehoyakim was able to become Melech. Umi Malki Zutri Mikamik Shishi, but why would they do that? Is that normal to have a younger son go before an older son in Malchus? Vaksiv, the pasuk says, Asam Mamlacha, Nasan Yehoram, Ki Hu HaBechor. So when Yehoshaphat gave the Malchus to his son, he gave it to Yehoram because he was the Bechor. So you see from there that that's the way it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to go to the Bechor before it goes to anybody else. So says Gemara, Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, Mimali Makom Avosav Hava. He was a worthy successor to his father. Yehoyakim loved Mali Makom Avosav Hava. Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshio, was not a tzaddik like his father, and therefore he was not deserving deserving of being the melech, and that's why even though he was the bechor, he didn't go next. There's a significant literature in the poskim about Yerusha when it comes to various minuyim. What you see very clearly is that in our sugya is that it's important that he be someone who's mimale makom avosav. The poskim discuss, first of all, which positions are subject to Yerusha. Would a shochet be subject to Yerusha? Does a shochet son get precedence over all others? In the Sefer Ginas V'Radim, Chuvas Ginas V'Radim, Yardeya Klal Gimel, Simon Zayin, he has a whole maisa of Ruvain was someone who was very well-liked and well and a worthy person, and he was Yirei Hashem, etc. And he had a minui of Gabbaus over the Chevra Kadisha, and he was the head of the Gemach, of the Chevra of Gomlei Chassadim in general in the community. Then he dies, and he has a son who's a good guy. But some people from the Kila say we think we can find someone better than his son. I mean, he's good; we have no problems with him. But we think we could find somebody better. So when the Ginas Radim heard about this sichsuch, he says, "How could it be that Chachamim Gedolim Shekamosam are going to be involved in something like this?" She'ein behen mamish. He said, "It's a davar pashut that not only when it comes to malchus is the ben zocha to be kodem l'kol adam, kol shar minuyim. Anytime there's any sort of minoy, anything that's a respected minoy in the community, the son comes before anybody else." The Chuvas HaRashba discusses the son of a Shliach Tzibur coming before the people. We think we could find a more qualified Shliach Tzibur, someone who's better. It's not about someone who's better, it's about if the son is not worthy, if he's not a Yirei Shemayim, if he's not someone who's worthy. And the worthy involves two elements, one more important than the other. One element is that he have the talent, the skill to do it, and the other is that he have the Yirei Shemayim. The Yirei Shemayim part is more important. The post can discuss, depending on the job, these skills can be taught. The Yirei Shemayim is something that he has to have. But there is definitely this notion, when it comes to certain minuyim, that a child takes precedence before anybody else, provided that he's a memale makam avosav. So Amarmar, hu shalom utzit kyo, hu yochanan, hu yoachas. We took this pasuk in Divrei Yom that listed the children of Yoshiyahu, and we said, all these names are really, the shalom utzit kyo, the third and the fourth son are the same, and when it says yochanan, it really means yoachas. It says, v'chad very hard to say that the third and fourth son are the same. D'chsiv hashlishi harvi'i. It says that the shlishi is Sitkyo, the revi'i is Shalom. So it says, no, my shlishi, shlishi lebanim. Shlishi means he was the third born son. My revi'i, revi'i lemalchus. Revi'i means he was the fourth after his father's death to get the malchus. To make kara malach yo'achaz, because first yo'achaz, ulubesof yo'yakim, ulubesof yechanya. And then Yehoyakim's son Yechanya got the malchus before Tzidkio did, and then only Lebesov Tzidkio, the uncle Tzidkio, took the Malchus. So that's why he was the fourth Lemalchus, and that's why he's listed fourth. Tan Rabbanan, who Shalom who Tzidkiyahu? So we said Shalom and Tzidkio are the same person. V'lama nikra shmo Shalom? Why is he called Shalom? Sheim Shulam b'Ma'asav. He was complete in his actions. He was a Tzadik Gamur. Rashi says not only a Tzadik Gamur, also a Bal Ma'isim Tovim. So a little bit difficult. The Achronim have if he's Tzadik Gamur Mestama, he's a Bal Ma'isim Tovim. So probably means Tzadik Gamur is like the sur meira element that he no one could have any tainas on him. He never did anything wrong. Plus he was a Bal Ma'isim. He was proactive in making sure to initiate good things. Ikeda Amri, no, Shalom, the reason he got the name Shalom, Sheshom Malchus Beis David B'Yamav, that he was the last one of the Malchus Beis David. Umash Shemo, Matanya Shemo, and his real name was Matanya. Shenem Ravayamlich Melch Bavalas Matanya Dodo Tachtav Ve'asev Shemo Tzidkiyo. So Nebuchadnezzar, Melch Bavel, sends Yechanya to Bavel, and he puts Matanya, Yechanya his uncle in his place, and he changes his name to Tzidkiyahu. Omar lo, and he says to him, Ko yatzdik alecha sadin im timrobi, that God should punish you if you rebel against me. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad asher shbiu belukim, that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, that when he did rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, he did so even though there was a shvua l'Hashem that he won't do so. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim fills in the story. It's a Gemara Nedarim in Daf Samechei, tells us that Tzidkiyo saw Nebuchadnezzar eating a rabbit, a live rabbit, so it's a machlokas rishonim, live or just not cooked. Either way, it was disgusting. He was doing something disgusting. So Nebuchadnezzar was embarrassed that he was caught with that. So he made Tzidkiyo take a shvua that he's never going to reveal it to anybody. And then Tzidkiyo was having tremendous tsar, physical tsar, about that shvua, because he very much wanted to be mefarsim to humiliate Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was not exactly a great guy. So he went to a Beis Din, he was shoal on a shvua that he shouldn't have to be loyal to a shvua. So that's what it says, V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad asher shbiu b'elukim. So the Marsha over there says that it was pashut to the Gemara, that it's not kipshuto, that Nebuchadnezzar made him take a shvua, not to rebel, and then he just went ahead and rebelled, because he was a tzadik gomor. It has to be that it's referring to this maisa, that he had sara guf, and therefore he had to go to a Beis Din, and they were mad to the shvua, otherwise he wouldn't have just gone against the shvua. So now the Gemara asks, on the brisa that we said previously, we said Yahu Achaz was nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha because of Yehoyakim, because Yehoyakim was 2 years older. Says Gemara, umi have a Shemen HaMishcha? Did they have Shemen HaMishcha in the time of Yahu Achaz? When was the Shemen HaMishcha lost? Vatanya, the brisa tells us, Misha Nignas Aron, Nignas Shemen HaMishcha. When the Aron was hidden away, so was the Shemen HaMishcha, along with Tzantzenes Haman. The Tzantzenes Haman was hidden away as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to put the tzantzenes of man as a mishmeres for future generations. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Vayomer Moshe l'Aron kach tzantzenes achas v'tein shama meloa omer man v'anachos olvnei Hashem l'mishmeres l'dorosechem. So they had a little jar of man that was supposed to be kept forever. Umakolo shel Aron shkedeu fracheha, and the stick of Aaron also was something that was supposed to be put away, that was supposed to be hidden. That's also directly in the Chumash, in Pesukim Bamidbar Parak Yud Zayin, that after the Maisa Korach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that he should take a matah from each Shevet, and he should write the shame of the Nasi of that Shevet on it, and he should take a matah from Shevet Levi and write the name of Aaron on it, and put all of them in the Yoel Moed. And the one that Hashem chooses is the stick that's going to grow something on it. And through that, Bnei Yisrael will realize that they shouldn't reject the Kuhuna, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. That's what Moshe did. Puts all the matas in the Almoed and Parach Mata Aaron. Mata Aaron has tzitzim u'shkedim. It starts going. So the pasuk says, "Vinei Parach Mata Aaron lebeis Levi v'yotzei Parach v'yotzei tzitz v'yigmol shkedim." So they want to save that as well. And together with that, they also hid away va'argas sheshalchu plishtim doron liYisrael. The box that the plishtim sent as a gift to the Jewish people, really to the Jewish God, when they sent the Aaron back after the plishtim had captured the Aron, the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Sefer Shmuel put them through a whole series of exercises that were unpleasant for them. So they put the Aron on a wagon and they sent along with it a gift, and the part of the gift was a box that went with the Aron. So that also was put away for safekeeping. Shenemar v'esklei azov asher shivosam la'asham tasimu ba'argaz mitzido v'shilachtem osa v'halach. And that's what the pasuk tells us in Shmuel Aleph, that they sent this box together with the Aron. So Mestama, when they hid the Aron, they hid the box too. Umi Genazo, and who's the one that hid away the Aron? Yoshio Melch Yehuda Genazo. Is Yoshio Melch Yehuda Sharash Hakasa B'Torah, because he saw that it says in the Torah in Devarim Parachav Ches Yolech Hashem Oscha Ve'es Malkecha, that Hashem is going to send Bnei Yisrael into Galus. So he said right away Tziva V'Ganzim, that in order that the Aron shouldn't go into Galus, we have to hide the Aron because he saw that there was an upcoming galus that had to be avoided. It's the Achronim are bothered, the Be'er Sheva is bothered. Wait a second, he just first learned that pasuk now? Like he didn't know, he was previously unaware? It sounds like he found the pasuk, like it was a metziah. So says the Be'er Sheva that no, it doesn't mean that this was the first time he learned it. It means that he found the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. That's clear in Divrei Yom Beis. He found the Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and he opened up to where it was, where the Sefer Torah was rolled to, and it was rolled right to that spot. So he thought that was a siman that now is time, that if at that moment he found the Sefer Torah, Dafka opened to that spot, now must be the time that he's supposed to be Gonez the Aron. So he was Gonez the Aron together with all these things. Shenemar, Vayomer Lalvim, Amvinim Lachal Yisrael, Kadoshim Lashem, Tsinuas Aron, Kadosh Bebayas, Asher Bana Shlomo, Ben David Melech Yisrael, Ein Lechem Masa, Bekasi Vato, Ivduas, Asher Melechem, Ves Amo Yisrael. He told the Levim to hide the Aron in the place that Shlomo HaMelech built, meaning some special cavity underground that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, because the Aron was in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it should have said Tnuas Aron HaKodesh Bebayis Asher Bana Shlomo. So it must be that he wanted to be Gonez the Aron. That's how Rashi says. In Divrei Yamim, Rashi says that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that Menashe and Amon removed the Aron from the Mikdash and put idols in its place. So Yoshiyahu wanted the Aron to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Pasha Pshat. Marsha says Chazal don't want to learn the Pasha Pshat, and they darshan that it's about Gnizas HaAron, because why would Yoshiyahu say Tenu Es Aron HaKodesh? It should be Hashivu Es Aron HaKodesh. Return the Aron HaKodesh to its rightful spot. Tenu implies that it's going to a spot that it never was before, and that's why the Gemara over here learns that it's about putting it away in a special place. That's what Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, that it was critical that the Aron stay on premises, because the whole Yisod of Kedushas HaMikdash comes from the Kedushas HaAron. And he says that's a Mikdash Ma'ad also, when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses emanates from Kedushas HaAron. Therefore, it's important that a Beis HaKnesses actually have an Aron. Rav Shechter actually says, B'derech Efshar, he's opposed to what we did over here with the cavity in the wall, because he thought that maybe that's putting the Aron in a separate room, and the Beis HaKnesses is in a separate room, that it should be dafka that the Aron is in the same room as the Beis HaKnesses. I don't think he could have imagined the seating problems we have over here, so we needed the space. So we learn from Gezer Shava that Sinsenes Haman was also hidden, because it says Venati L'cha Sham, and it says Venati Shama L'bnei Yisrael. So, and by the Sinsenes Haman it says V'ten Shama M'lo Omer. So we learn Sinsenes Haman as well. Asya Mishmeres Mishmeres. And we also have a Gezer Shava that the from Mishmeres Mishmeres that the Makal of Aaron was hidden away, because by the Man it says L'mishmeres L'doros Eichem. By Makal of Aaron it also says Hashavis Mata Aaron L'fnei Edus L'mishmeres. And Asya Doros Doros. We have another Gzer Shava from the Makal Aaron. That just like the Tzinsenes Haman was hidden away, so was the Shemin Amishcha. Because by the Man it says L'doros Eichem. By the Shemin Amishcha it says Shemin Mishchas Kodesh Yezeli L'doros Eichem. So that's how we know that all of these things were hidden away. What you see from the Brisa is, though, that the Shemin HaMishcha was put away by Yoshiyahu. So now we're back to our Kasha. How is it that Yehoahaz, the son of Yoshiyahu, had Shemin HaMishcha? Yoshiyahu hid away the Shemin HaMishcha. So how did they anoint him? Some Rav Papa, Papars Medachia. It was make-believe Shemin HaMishcha. They were using some other pure, nice oil to make it look like Shemin HaMishcha. Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Moshchan HaSamalachim. Now the Gemara gets into, okay, now we know a lot about the Shemin HaMishcha. How did they use it? What would they do? What would they do with the oil exactly? So Ketzer Moshkan HaSamalachim, what would they do with the Shemin HaMishcha to anoint a king? So Kimin Nezer. So the Malachim, they would make like a crown with the oil, a circular motion around his head with the oil. Vesa Kohanim Kimin Ki. My Kimin Ki. Kohanim, they would make the letter Ki. What's the letter Ki? Amram Rashi Bergada Kimin Kaf Yevani. It is a Greek Kaf, which Rashi says looks like a Ches. And they would start from between the eyes and go up over the head and back to the back of the neck. So that was the ches drawn around the person's head. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's going to have a machlokas exactly. There are two parts of the process. There's what's called yitzika and what's called mashicha. There's the pouring and the actual making the letter, making the shape on the head. So which one was done first? So tanacha da b'tchila motzkin shemen al rosho v'achar kach nosen l'shemen bin riseinav. And that first they would do the yitzika and then they would make the letter ches on his head. V'tanya achriti, but we have another brisa, b'tchila nosen l'shemen bin riseinav v'achar kach nosen l'shemen al rosho. Show, that it was in the reverse order. So says Mar Tanaihi. It's Machlokas Tanaim. Ikadami Mashicha Adifa. Some say that Mashicha comes first. V'ikadami Yitzika Adifa. And some say Yitzika comes first. My time of demand Yamar Yitzika Adifa. Why would you say Yitzika is better and Yitzika gets precedence? Dechziv Vayitzok Mishem Namishcha Al Rosh Aaron Vayim Shachos. So the Kacho. So from the pasuk, it sounds like Yitzika comes before Mashicha, and that's why it's Adif. Umandir Mashicha Adifa. My time. If Yild Mashicha is Adif, what's your basis? because by the klei sharis there was no yitzika, there was only meshicha. So you see that meshicha must be the dominant maisa over here. Yeah, but what are you going to do with the pasuk? The pasuk says vayitzok first and then vayimshach. Hachikamer, maitam vayitzok mishum de vayimshach. Why is it that they did a yitzika b'shem na'mishcha and the Kohen Gadol? Because they already did a meshicha prior to that. That's what it's saying. It's speaking in reverse order. Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us as follows: K'shem Natov yored al azakan zakan Aaron, that the Shem Natov went on the beard of Aaron. K'min shnei tibi margolios hayutulios la'Aaron bezakano. There were two drops of the Shem na'mishcha that Aaron was anointed with that remained at the edge of his beard b'derech neis. They remained there forever b'derech neis. And the reason for it is, the Meiri explains, to be mefarsem the Mashiach of Aaron. Ben Yehuda also says the same thing, that it was b'derech neis to let everyone know that Aaron was nimshach al pi adibur, not like Korach va'adasa wanted to claim that it was just Moshe Rabbeinu picking his brother for the job. No, this was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So it was shtei tipos al pi shnei edim yakum davar, that these are the two edim that are going to testify that Aaron is deserving. Amra Papa Tana Kshu Mesaper Olos V'yoshos Lo Bi'ikar Zekano. When he was Mesaper, they would stay at the edge of his beard. What does Mesaper mean? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. It may be based on multiple Girsaos, and Poskim at certain points in major controversial times made a big deal about this. Rashi says Mesaper means when he would talk. Normally a person talks, his beard moves, so the oil could have easily fallen off of his beard. So instead of the oil falling off his beard, when he would talk, it would go right up to the roots, so that it wouldn't be at the edge where it could easily shake off of the beard. It's a little bit difficult if the miracle was going to happen, that it was going to go right back up, that it was going to crawl up to the roots. Miracle could have happened that it stayed at the edge and not fallen off when he spoke as well. But anyway, that's what Rashi says. The in Maseches Krisus, Rashi says that the Kavana is mistaper, that when he would get a haircut, when he would trim his beard, oh, Aaron would trim his beard. So that was the big discussion in the postgame. Are you allowed to the Alpim Al Pikabala? There were many that held that you're not allowed to trim a beard at all. So what if you have a community of people who don't want to trim their beards and they want to throw out anyone who does trim their beard? So can you bring a raya from this Gemara that even Aaron would trim his beard? So this was a big sifsuch at some point in history about what you can learn from this Gemara, whether you can learn anything about trimming beards from this Gemara. So, but it makes more sense, just in Pasha Pshad, that when he's cutting it, that's why he can't be at the edge anymore. That's why the oil had to crawl back up. It was about when he was talking, so you understand, it's hard to understand why he had to crawl back up. Why can't he just stay at the edge of his beard? Okay, Valdavar Zahayim Moshe Doeg, and this Moshe used to be worried about this, about these two droplets of oil. Amar Shem Chasashol Malti B'Shem Namishcha, did I commit me either with Shem Namishcha? Yatza Baskel V'Yamar, so Baskel came out and said, Kashem Enatov, Katal Chermon, Matal Chermon Ein Bo Mi'ila, just like the dew that comes on Har Chermon that is not subject to Mi'ila, Af Shem Namishcha, Shebizkan Aaron Ein Bo Mi'ila, so too the Shem Namishcha has not been Mi'ila, has not been subject to Mi'ila, V'adayinai Aaron Doeg, but Aaron was still worried. Amar Shema Moshe Lo Ma'al, maybe Moshe didn't violate Mi'ila, Aval Ani Ma'alti, but maybe I'm being Mo'el by having the Shem Namishcha. Yatsa Baskel V'Yamalo, Hinei Matov Manoim Shevesachim Gam Yachad, that Ma Moshe Lo Ma'al, Afata Lo Ma'alta, that the two brothers are exactly the same in terms of their tzidkus. They're both beyond any guilt or reproach over here. Just like Moshe did not violate Mi'ila, Aaron didn't violate Mi'ila either. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Moshkan Samlachim Ella Ala Mayan. We only anoint kings by a spring of water. Kidei Shetimashich Malchusam, so that their malchus will extend. So the Meiri writes that it can't be that we believe that doing this next to a Mayan, because a Mayan is a live body of water, that means the Melech's Malchus is going to extend, because that would be an Isser Dal Raisa of Los Nachshu. We're not allowed to be Menachish, we're not allowed to make these kinds of Simanim. It means that it's to be Ma'orer the Melech, that he should act in a way of a Mayan that is always consistent and that always does the right thing. Unlike other bodies of water that dry up and sometimes don't do what they're supposed to be doing, a Mayan is consistent. So that's what it is. It's a message to the Melech, and that's the only way way that this is allowed. Otherwise, it would be a violation of Los Anachshu. Shnemar v'yomra melech lehem chui machem es avdei adonechem v'radtem also el Gichon. They have to bring him to Gichon. Amar v'yami haima d'bay l'meida imasuk shatei lo. Once we're on the topic of simanim, if a person wants to know if he's going to make it through the year or not, nitli shraga basori yomei d'bein Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim. He should take a candle and hang it on the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. During the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, he should put a lit candle, and Bevesa Delo Nashiv Zika, in a house that doesn't have any wind, Imashik Nahore, if the candle continues to light consistently, and so Neda Demasik Shate, then he knows that he's going to make it through the year. Uman Demari Lemevet Be'iska, if a person who wants to get involved in a new business venture, Ubay Lemeda Yimitzlach Ilo Mitzlach, and he wants to know if he's going to be Masliach or not, Lir B'Tarnagola, he should raise a chicken, Ishamin V'Shap Matzlach, and if the chicken gets fat and he sees that he's doing well with it, so then he knows that the business is going to be matzliach. Haiman to buy the meipak l'orcha. A person wants to take a trip. Ubay the meida yichaz vasi the beis alone. He wants to know if he's going to make it home successfully or not. Nekum beveisa the chavri. You should go to a dark house. Yichazi bavua de bavua. And if he sees the shadow of a shadow, lay the dad vasi the beis. Then he knows that he's going to make it back home. V'lav milsihi says Gemara. But this is not a real good simin. This last one. Dil machashadaita mitra mazale. Because maybe the person's not going to see the shadow and he's going to get upset and that's going to bring him bad mazel through his chalisha sadas. His whole attitude is going to change through his chalisha sadas. So all of these are the simanim that are recommended by the Gemara. L'chora, this is a major problem. All of this is a violation of an issur d'oraisa of lo sinachshu. Vayikra perek yetes pasuk chavav. The Gemara in Sanhedrin elaborates on this in Daf Samachei Amud Beis, that if your bread falls from your mouth or your stick falls from your hand and you say, oh, it's a simin ra, that's a violation of menachesh, to take random events that happen in the world and attach significance to them of what the future holds for you. That's a violation of menachesh. So the Meiri writes that all of these things in the Gemara you're not allowed to do. The Gemara says vilav milsihi at the end. Vilav milsihi is not just going on the shadow in the dark room. Vilav milsihi is about all of them. These are just the kinds of things that give hope to people who shouldn't have hope and give sadness to people who shouldn't have sadness. Meaning, oh, it didn't work out. That means it's a bad sign because it's Friday the 13th. It's this. It's that. That's all these. It just upsets people unnecessarily. That's what the Gemara is saying. Lav milsi. It's going to be chol shadaite. You know, it might come true if you get a bad sign because chol shadaite. Because you're going to have a bad attitude because of it, and that's going to be rei mazale. However, Rashi says lav milsihi is only on the last one. It's only on the yotze l'derech, seeing the shadow. It's not going on the rest of them. So what's the story? How's it not a violation of los nachshu? So the Marsha says that the inyan of nichush is only when you're tola a simin ra. You say that something bad happened because of this, it means something bad. But a simin tov is not a violation of los nachshu. That's not the pashtus. It's a very great chiddush, but that's what the Marsha suggests. That it's all simin ra versus simin tov. Karen Ora disagrees with the Marsha, proves from many places that there's a violation of los nachshu even when it's latov, and he says the heter to do these simanim is only if you realize it's a simen bialma and you're not being sumich on it. Meaning, a bride wears a white dress. Why? Because she believes that if she wears a white dress, it means that she's going to be a more loyal and faithful wife and a more pure person. No, obviously she's going to make those decisions in her life. It just makes sense that it's an appropriate symbol of what she hopes to be. So you can only view these things as symbols. You can't view these things as anything that actually is going to be a predictor of the future. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, but that's what you have to say because we have a Chumash that came before the Gemara that tells us Lo Sinachshu. This is, of course, a Dafyomi coincidence with the Shlissel Challah week, right? That a person can't believe that when you do these little things down here, that's going to be that's going to predict the future for you. Amar Abaye, Hashadamit Simana Milsi. Once we say that Simana Milsi, so Leolim Yeragil Lemechse Breshata, a person should see on Rosh Hashanah, Kara, Verubia, Karti, Vesilka, Vitamri, he should have all of these different vegetables on Rosh Hashanah, and Rishonim explain because that they all grow very quickly, more quickly than other vegetables. plus they each have certain qualities to them that are, or either qualities to them or their names themselves symbolize bracha. So it's a nice thing to do on Rosh Hashanah. The Chidah writes in Machzik Bracha that he would do it even on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and then he said, and then I saw that the El Yerabba says that as well. But Saskar says, no, Abai says Bereish Shasa. He doesn't say Rosh Hashanah. Why does he say Bereish Shasa? Because it's only on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. So that's a difficult deal. Milchus Halazah already points out Bereish Shasa is just Aramaic for Rosh Hashanah. So if it's the first night, it's the second night. I mean, why would it be only the first night? People tend to be more makbid about it the first night. But that's the idea of doing Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. So again, the Meiri holds anything that's done as a Simon Tov or Ra is an Isser Nichush. So Meiri says that the reason you're allowed to do the Simanim on Rosh Hashanah is that it's supposed to be Ma'orer Tefillah, that you see this and now you're going to daven Yehi Ratzon She'yir B'Zuchu Yoseinu, Yehi Ratzon She'yitamu Soneinu. And that's the Iker. The Iker is not to have these things, it's that you see things and that sets off in your mind an inspiration for Tefillah. But that's what it's really all about, that it's all about the Tefillah. Amlur Misharshi Lebrev. Misharshi gave advice to his son. He said, Kibisu Me'el Migumri Kamu Rabbeichu Garsu Masnisavallu Kamu Rabbeichu. You want to go learn Yeshiva, learn Mishnayos first. Before you learn the Gemara by the Rebbe, you'll understand a lot more if you learn the Mishnayos first. V'chias visu kame, and second bit of advice, when you sit by your Rebbe, chazulu pumei, you should see his mouth. T'chsiv ayuenecha ro'os esmorecha. Meaning it's nice to learn Torah through Svarim and through other things, but there, you know, if they had internet, I'm sure he would say it's nice to learn Torah, but there's something different about actually being there in person with your Rebbe. So you should do your best to be able to be there in person as much as you can with your Rebbe. The Radvaz is a tshuva in Chel Gimel Siman Tafai in Beis, where he says that part of this is just like Ein Adam Lomein El Makom Shlibo Chafetz. The Radvaz says Ein Adam Espalel El Makom Shlibo Chafetz. He says because when a person is comfortable, when he's not experiencing anxiety and negative emotions, so he has a certain Archavas Hadas where he's able to connect to the Ribono Shalom much more. So if a person has a love for the Rebbe and a relationship with the Rebbe where there's an actual connection, so that will enable him to learn better. That there's been a ton of research in recent years that show that the most effective teachers are not the most charismatic and the greatest speakers. It's the ones that just connect to the kids, that the kids feel that they love the teacher, so that's who they want to learn from. So that's true in Torah, obviously, as well, that if there's that connection, so then there's a certain comfort level which broadens the mind and enables the person to want to learn. So that's the inyan of Vahayu Einecha, or part of the inyan of Vahayu Einecha Ro'os Esmerecha. V'chi Garsisu Garsu Al Nahara Demaya. And when you learn, you shall learn by a riverbank, because that's a positive simen. That's why we're quoting all this advice. Tichech Dimashkan Maya Mashkan Shmataychu. That just like the water continues, so too your learning, you should hang on to your learning for a long time. V'teisva Kilkuli Dimasa Mechasya. Better to sit by the garbage heap of Masa Mechasya V'lotevua Padni De Pumbedisa. And don't sit up by the palaces of Pumbedisa, meaning the neighborhood and the other bachram in the yeshiva. That matters. You know, who you live near, who you're around matters a lot. So you may be able to get a better deal on a house in whatever, in a certain location, but if it's not a place of B'nai Torah, it's not a place where, so that's not the place to live. Tav Galda Sarya, better to eat a small spoiled fish, the Masa Mechasya, from Masa Mechasya, the Mechel Mikhul Chadrami Kifi, rather than eating the delicious kutach of Rami Kifi. Okay, Rama Karni Belokai. Now the Gemara discusses again Mashichas Malachim. So Rama Karni Velo Rama Pachi. It says that the Malachim, they would be Moshech the Melech with a keren, not with a pach, not with a jug. David and Shlomo Shenimshku Bekeren Nimshka Malchusan. David and Shlomo, who they had a keren, their Malchus was Nimshach, it lasted. Shol V'yehu Shenimshku Bepach Lo Nimshka Malchusan. But Shaul, the pasuk describes in Shmuel Aleph, Shaul and Yehu, who was a pach of Shemen, their Malchus didn't extend. So the keren is a better simon of an extension of the Malchus. HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. The Mishnah then went on to say that the only one who brings the power, the special power of the Kohen Gadol, is the Kohen Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. So Tan Rabbanan, Mashiach Yachal Melech. When it says Mashiach, you might think it's referring to the king. Tamalomar Kohen. That's why it has to say Kohen. I Kohen Yachal Merubah B'Gadim. If it just says Kohen, I would think the Merubah B'Gadim. Tamalomar Mashiach. I Mashiach Yachal Mashuach Melchama. Okay, it's got to be a Kohen. Who is Mashuach? So I might think it's the Mashuach Melchama. Tamalomar Kohen HaMashiach, She'enu Mashiach al Gabav, that there's no other Kohen Mashiach higher ranked than him. A Mashiach Melchama has someone who's higher ranked than him, and that's the regular Kohen Gadol. My Mashma, how do you learn from the Pasuk HaKohen HaMashiach that it's the Kohen Gadol, that there's no one higher than him? Where do you see that it says anywhere no one higher than him? So Kedam Rava, HaYarech, HaMiyumenech, Shabiyarech, just like Rava says in Masech HaSchulin, that the Torah only asks the Gira Nasha that's on the right side of the animal, because it says HaYarech, and HaYarech means with the idea is the right side. So Chanami, HaMashiach, HaMiyumen, Shabimushuchim, so too, HaMashiach means the Miyuman, meaning the most choicest, the best, the highest of the Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Mar, Mashiach Yochel Melech. So we said, when it says the word Mashiach, you might think that it's referring to a Melech. Well, Melech, Paru Demaisi, Siru Demaisi. How could you even have such a Havamina? The Pasuk in the Chumash says that a Melech brings a Sayer, not a Par. So why would you have a Havamina that he brings a Par? Says Marno Yisrich, Salka Daitach Hamina, Al Shigas Maisa Yavi Sayer, Al Helim Dover Yavi Par, Kamash Mulan. I would have assumed, yeah, he brings a Sayer when it's only Shigas Maisa. But when you also had a mistaken Psak, it's also a Helim Davar, so then he should bring a par that he's subject to both karbanos. That's why Kamash Malan that is not the case. Ain bin Mashiach Hashem Namishcha. The Mishnah went on to say that the only difference between the Kohen Gadol's Mashiach Hashem Namishcha and the one who's Merubah Gadim is the par abal kol mitzvos. So Masnisin dilo k'Rabbi Meir. Di I Rabbi Meir Hatanim Merubah Gadim maybe par abal kol mitzvos. Di Rabbi Meir v'lohod dilachamim. Rabbi Meir says according to the Brisa that a Merubah Gadim also brings the par abal kol mitzvos. Chum disagree, but Rabbi Meir holds that way. My time is Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir think that the Merubah Begadim also brings the parabolical mitzvos? Detanya, Mashiach ain li ala Mashiach b'shem namishcha. From Mashiach, I would only know the one who has shem namishcha. Merubah Begadim minayin tamalomar hakohen haMashiach. From the word hakohen, he's marbe even a kohen who does not have the shem namishcha. So b'mayu kimte. So we said, okay. So who's our Mishnah going like? Kirabanan. Our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan that only the kohen haMashiach brings the par, not the Merubah Begadim. Yeah, but Ema Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah goes on to say, Ein bein kohen haMashamesh leKohen Sha'avar el par Yom Kippur Masir Seifa. The only difference between the current Kohen Gadol and the previous Kohen Gadol is the par Yom Kippurim and the Asir Seifa. Otherwise, they're all the same. So Asan Rabbi Meir, that happens to be Shitas Rabbi Meir. So our Mishnah is inconsistent. How do I know it's Shitas Rabbi Meir? Detanya, we have a Brisa. Erubo psul b'Kohen Gadol va'avar, if some sort of psul happens to the Kohen Gadol and he is now no longer able to be the Kohen, uminu Kohen achar tachtav. And they appoint someone else in his place. Harishon chozel avodaso. When the first one is kosher again, he goes back to the avoda. Vasheni kol mitzvos kuna alav. And the second one still has all the dinim of a kohen gadol. Divrei Meir. That's Rabbi Meir shita. Rabbi Yosi Omer. Harishon chozel avodaso. Vasheni ein roi lo lekohen gadol lo lekohen hadyot. Rabbi Yosi says no. The second guy is out. Not as a kohen gadol. Not as a kohen hadyot. Amar Rabbi Yosi. Maisa b'Yosef ben Elim min Sipori. His story happened like this. Sheirubo psul b'kohen gadol. There was a psul in the Kohen Gadol, Umi Nuhu Tachtav, and they appointed Yosef ben Elim in his place. When the Kohen Gadol came back and he was Ra'u again, they asked the Chum, what do we do with Yosef ben Elim? Va'amru, Rishon Chosel Avadaso, Kohen Gadol gets his old job back, Sheni and Roy Lola Kohen Gadol, Velola Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, he can't be a Kohen Gadol because it's going to create a sense of Eva, Sina, with the first Kohen, and Kohen Hedyot, Mishum Malam Bekodesh Remaritin. He can't go back to being Kohen Hedyot because Malam Bekodesh Lom Ridin, he was just a Kohen Gadol. So how could he go back? There's a Machlokas Rishonim in Yuma Daf Yud Beis where the same thing appears, whether what the Ikar Adin really is. Meaning, what's the concern Midrabanan? Is Eva the concern? So Shitas Rashi is that really is a Kohen Gadol. Minat Torah, he should be a Kohen Gadol. It's just the Chum were concerned about Eva, so we don't allow that. But as a Kohen Hedyot was never, is not really his real status. Tosos disagrees, and Tosos says the opposite. Tosos over there in Maseches Yuma. But either way, you see from this Braisa that the Seifa of our Mishnah, where we say the only difference between the current Kohen Gadol and the previous Kohen Gadol is the Par Yom Kippurim in this Asir Seifa, meaning that the second guy can still be the Kohen Gadol with regard to everything else, that's Shitas Rabbi Meir. So Reisha Rabbanan, the Seifa Rabbi Meir, the Reisha of our Mishnah follows Rabbanan, the Seifa follows Rabbi Meir, Amrav Chista, in Reisha Rabbanan, Seifa Rabbi Meir, it's exactly what happens in our Mishnah. The Reisha by the Rabban, the Seif is authored by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef Amar Rebbe, he. No, the entire Mishnah is Rebbe. V'nasav la'aliba de Tanai. And Rebbe set up the Mishnah to be going like different Shitos in Tanaim. The way Rashi understands that is that Rebbe holds like different Shitos in Tanaim. In the Reisha, he holds not like Rabbi Meir, like the Rabbanan. In the Seifa, he holds like Rabbi Meir. So he set up a Stam Mishnah to reflect his own Shita. However, the Tosa Rush says, no, Rebbe Paskin's like the Rabbanan, but he's trying to say an Ein Bein. So when he's trying to formulate an Ein Bein, since according to Rabbi Meir, it turns out that there's an Ein Bein, so he formulates that in the Mishnah. But that's not a psak of Rebbe, that's a way of remembering a series of halachos. So he was creating this contrast of the Ein Bein. Rava Amar Rava says that, no, Rabbi Shimon, that our Mishnah in fact follows Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Meir with regard to the din of a Kohen Sha'avar, and he disagrees with Rabbi Meir with regard to the Kohen who's Meruba Begadim. So the Gemara is now going to bring a Brisa, which we'll start with tomorrow, that shows us that Rabbi Shimon is the one that agrees with everything that it says in our Mishnah. So Bez Hashem, we fell behind on purpose because Daf Yudalit is short, and Bez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow.